Turn with me, if you can, to Second Chronicles. I'm gonna be in chapter 15. You should read 14 and 15. It talks about a king by the name of Asa. Good guy. I like. The Lord says about him in chapter 14. It says, verse 2, and Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord, his God. In chapter 15, just a couple thoughts, and the thing that came to my mind as I read chapter 15 is we can get as close to God as we want. And it's all up to you. you and I can do as much as you want to do in the Lord, and all you got to do is want. Obviously, it's going to cost you. It's going to cost some godly decisions. It's going to cost you, maybe some sacrifices. But getting close to God and being with God and being in His work and having Him in your life, I believe that is something it's something that you can't put money to, you can't put anything to. Having God for many years, I'm talking, my childhood, my teenage years, even into adulthood, I came to the Lord. I think I was 20, 23 when I came to the Lord, and had no idea who God was. I thought I did, but had no idea who He was. And from the time that I got saved, having Him in my life, having Him feeling His presence, being in my life, guiding me. Wow, it's been great. And that's something that every night, I don't think I've ever gone to sleep from the time that I knew I was saved. Right? God was dealing with me for about a week during a mission conference, and a lot of things were going through my head, a lot of things were going through my heart during that week, and a lot of fears. But I didn't deal with God. At the end of that week, I was going to make a decision. And once I made that decision, no more fears. I went home, I went to sleep, I woke up in the morning, things were just different from the day that I asked God to forgive my sins, and I put my trust in Him, and He gave me eternal life. That's been an amazing time from that end. But I want to read this verse, in verse 2, and we're just going to talk about a few things. But in chapter 15, let me just read from verse 1. It says, "The Spirit of God came upon Azariah. What? Azariah. Okay, very good. Azariah. All right. It's the son of Oded. And he went out to meet Asa, and said unto him, Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you, while ye be with him. And if ye seek him, he will be found of you. But if ye forsake him, he will forsake you. Now for a long season, Israel hath been without the true God, and without a teaching priest, and without law. But when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel, and sought him, he was found of them. And in those times there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in. But great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the country. And nation was destroyed of nation, and city of city, for God did vex them with all adversity. Be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. And when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Oded the prophet, he took courage and put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin, out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim, and renewed the altar of the Lord, and was before the porch of the Lord. And he gathered all Judah and Benjamin, and the strangers with them out of Ephraim and Manasseh, and out of Simeon, for they fell to him out of Israel in abundance, when they saw that the Lord, his God, was with him. And the thought, you know, like I said, the thought that came into my mind was that you can be as close to God as you want, right? It's all in your court, all right? He says that very clear. The Lord is with you. A prophet comes in. This guy, Azariah, I think that's his name. Azariah comes in. It's the only time he's mentioned in the Bible. It's the only time. To me, it's good because lots of times, when we hear, you know, messages, especially this week, and we think, man, who said that? Or, oh yeah, somebody preached, or somebody said this. And who was that preacher? You know, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter who preached. It really doesn't matter who's standing up here on a given Sunday, on a given Wednesday night, on a given Sunday. It doesn't matter. You know what matters? God and His Word. Right? He showed up. You don't hear about him again. You don't see him again. This guy just shows up, has a message, gives a message, and then he's gone. I want to talk to you tonight really quick. So first of all, the relationship. You can be as close to God as you want to be. Verse 2, he says there in verse 2, the Lord is with you while you be with Him. In verse 7, he says, be strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. In James 4:8, it says, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. It says, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Verse 9, be afflicted and mourn and weep. Have we forgotten that? How long has it been since you've been afflicted, since you've mourned, and since you've cried? Because your relationship is not right. You know, this is something that we have to keep in mind, right? It's something that happens. It's something that happens in your marriage. From time to time, my wife will tell me, and I'm glad she tells me, but she'll tell me, John, you speak to the people in the church. You give them more time than you do me. You know, sometimes when I'm at church or if somebody calls me and I go and I have to do counsel or whatever it is, when I come home, I don't want to talk. You know, I love my wife. I love being with my wife. I'm just glad when she's there. I don't have to say anything. At least I'm thinking that. I don't have to say anything to her. I'm just glad she's there. You know? And there's no other place I'd rather be than with my wife. I have fun. But you know what? I forget. I talk to people all the time. My wife has two dogs that follow her around the apartment. You know? She needs conversation. She needs to have time, intimacy. She needs to be able to confide in somebody as well. Well, you know what? Our relationship should be important to us. And when we've gotten cold, when we've gotten away from God, when we've gotten to a point where you're not hearing His voice no more. You're not seeing Him anymore. You're not seeing things in your life anymore. And it does happen. He says here, be afflicted. Mourn. Weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. In 2 Chronicles 14, in our text, I just want to stay there. 14 in our text, in verse 11, look what it says here. And Asa cried unto the Lord, his God, and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee. In thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God. Let not man prevail against thee. But you know what? He has had victory up to this point. God has blessed them up to this point. Look, it says up there, if you go up to verse 7, and he said unto Judah, let us build these cities and make about them walls and towers and gates and bars, and while the land is yet before us, because we have sought the Lord our God. We have sought him. He has given us rest on every side. They built and prospered. And Asa had an army of men that bear targets and spears out of Judah, 300,000, and out of Benjamin that bear shields and drew bows, 200 and 44,000. And all these were mighty men of valor. And what a bunch of wimps. These guys were strong people. And there came out against him Zerah, the Ethiopian, with a host of 1,000 and 300 chariots, and came unto Mareshah. Then Asa went out against him, and they set the battle in array in the valley of Cephatha at Mareshah. You know, to me, he had victory, he had rest, God has been on our side, sought God, but you know what, he didn't trust on that. He didn't trust on what he's seen in the past. He went to God and said, we need your help. Right? We're not looking at multitudes. I know they're a lot stronger, they're a lot bigger, whatever. For you, it's nothing. Whether it be many, whether it be few, you can give us the victory. And he says here, we rest on thee. Wow. All right, our God, for we rest in thee. In thy name we go against this multitude. And you know, and that's exactly what you and I do. Our relationship that we have with our God, with our Savior, is in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? I'm telling you, when I'm down there and they're asking me, you know, I wish sometimes we had just a denomination that we could say, and they wouldn't say. Right? Because, you know, who are you guys? Oh, we're just believers. You know? Yeah, but who? What group? You know? We meet in Jesus' name. Yeah, but there's got to be something. And I'm going round and round and round and round. And saying, you know what? I just love God and I love this Bible and Jesus Christ is my Savior. I mean, I don't know what else. What else to say? I mean, it's not a trick answer. It's not something that I'm trying to, because people are that way. If you talk to people enough, you know, and you ask them questions and they give you the runaround, right, in their answers. Well, I'm not trying to give a runaround, but you know what? That's exactly what Asa's saying. We rest in thee. In thy name we go against the multitudes. O Lord, thou art our God. Let not man prevail against thee. Our relationship should be something important to us. But you know, it says there, he cried. A call to call out to God and plead. I'm not talking about crying like sometimes our kids do, right? When they want something in the store. Right? You seen those kids? Yeah. I raised one of those kids. You know, all kids are that way. Right? They crying for stuff. That's not what he's doing here. He's crying out. He's humbling himself. He's crying out. He's pleading with God. He's saying, and he's repeating everything that he believes in his heart. You know, it's not something that we should get tired of, praising our God and telling him that he is our help. Right? That we rest in him. That none of this matters if God is not in it. Don't forget, it says the Spirit of God came upon Azariah. Look, if the Spirit of God is not in what we do, it's not worth it. We're wasting our time. Right? If you don't have the Spirit of God in you, if God hasn't moved in your life, if he hasn't opened your eyes and given you salvation, and you don't have his Spirit, it's all in vain.
You know, those that cry, and if you look at the verses before, those that cry out when they have peace and prosperity and everything's going good, well, when things get bad, when things get kind of shady, it's not hard to cry to God. You know what happens lots of times to me and you? We forget. We forget to cry out to God. We take our relationship for granted, right? We're not praising Him on a daily basis like we should be. And then when those moments of uncertainty come upon us, when those moments of fear, those moments of time when we don't know exactly what to do, we're almost afraid to cry out to God. We almost don't know how to do it. You know what? If we're like Asa, always seeking God, always praising God, always resting in God, always calling out to God in the good. And let me tell you, it's a whole lot easier to cry out to God when things are going good. But in those times when things are getting a little bit interesting, it's not going to be hard for you to cry out. But that relationship is important. We also look at the Spirit of God that came upon Azariah. When we remember everything God has done, what His Spirit has done through us, and what He's done in this church, but let me tell you, it's not us. Man, I was remembering when Joan was talking about the time in Mexico. We were down there. I was down there. I worked with Joe for about a little over a year, I guess. Down there, you and Brent. But remember those times when we were preaching down there downtown in front of the temple? We had I don't know, 20 people around us. Each one, after we get done preaching, I mean, there's just people coming. One time, a priest came out and tried to rip your Bible. Remember that? He was trying to rip his Bible. I mean, the Spirit of God, I don't know. I was even scared. I was so excited. I was so, as I look back, that was pretty dangerous. You know? But I think God was in that. God was there. God moved. God allowed me to see some things there in Guanajuato, there in León, and other cities that we've been at. God has allowed us to see some things, some great things. But the Spirit of God is what we need to. We need to understand that we need. If the Spirit of God is not in this place, if we don't keep our relationship correct, and God just leaves us to ourselves, you know what's going to happen to us? Look what it says there in verse 3. For a long season, Israel has been without the true God. Without teaching, without teaching preaching, without the law. In their trouble, they turned unto the Lord and sought Him. But you know, before they did that, no peace. No guidance. I don't want that to happen in my life, in my ministry. I don't want that to happen in my church. I want that to happen in my family. We need to be very close and keep in mind that relationship is important. The Spirit of God needs to be in and active in our life. And let me tell you, you can't expect that to happen if you don't take care of yourself. The command. Look what he says in verse 7. It says, "Be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak. For your work shall be rewarded." There's a command right here. He's telling us to be strong, and he's also telling us, and we need to understand, we get weak sometimes. And he's exhorting us, don't let your hands be weak.
You need to continue. You need to keep fighting. You need to keep removing things. You need to do what you have to do. So the Spirit of God, like it says up here, the Lord is with you while ye be with Him. That's so important. You know, we also see the response. The last one. In verse 8 and 9. The response to the Word of God and the response to the work of God. Look what it says in verse 8. And when Asa heard these words, lots of times we take for not granted, but we overlook the Word of God. We come here, we sit, we listen to the preachers, we listen to our pastors, and we forget that what they're, in this place, what we're preaching and what we're trying to bring out is the Scriptures, the Word of God. You know, Asa, when he was there and he listened intently to what the prophet of God had to tell him. And when he got done talking, and he understood where Israel was, and for so long they were without the true God, and he said to himself, he must have thought to himself, I don't want to get there. I want to have God in my life. I don't want to be in place in a time where God is not involved in my life. So what did he have to do? Look what he did. In verse 8 it says, and when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Oded the prophet, he took courage. He put away the abominable idols out of the land of Judah and Benjamin and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim and renewed the altar of the Lord. Now the words of God, the response he had toward the words of God was he tore some things out. He took courage, and it does take courage. It takes courage for you to make those decisions and cut ties or cut things from your life. Man, it's so much easier to drift. Man, that is so easy. It's easy. It'd be so much easier if we could just float. But, you know, God didn't tell us to do that. It takes courage for you to cut things out. It was a response to the Word of God. He didn't just take it lightly. The announcement that he heard moved him. He says, I'm going to take courage. I'm going to remove some things. And I'm going to renew some things. Have you lost some things? Have you forgotten some things? Have you put some things on the back burner? You know what Asa did? He renewed those altars. He brought things again. The work of God. There was a response to the work of God. You know, when somebody sees something, when somebody sees God working in your life, you influence. You influence. I don't know how many times there's been believers, Christians that have come up to us, right, while we're preaching, after we get done, and they're so inspired. I can't believe you're doing this. You're out here preaching God's Word, and I can see in their eyes they're like excited and like they want to also do something, and I hope they go back to their church and they do something. But people take notice of that. You know what happened there in verse 9? It says he gathered all Judah and Benjamin. And listen to this. And the strangers with them out of Ephraim and Manasseh and out of Simeon. No problem. You better call Scott Hurd. Okay, what was my point? Hey, no problem. All right. So the work of God. All right, yeah, verse 9. So what happens here is at first it was just Judah and Benjamin. And now he's getting other tribes that have seen people that they've had conflict with, right? They've had turmoil with in the past. And they're seeing that God is in the life of Asa, in Judah, and is blessing them. And they said, you know what? We want to be with you guys. Right? We're seeing that God is blessing you, is moving where you're at. We want to be a part of that work. Huh. That's the kind of response that you should have. I mean, I would like to think everybody in this church does something to the Lord. I want to think that. You know? I don't know if it's true or not, but I would like to think that. But you know what would be really awesome this week is if you haven't, or maybe you did once before and you kind of took a back seat, and maybe you can see what we're talking about and seeing how we're excited about working for the Lord and hearing about what God is doing and hearing about what we want God to do. You say, you know what? I want to join them again. I want to get involved again. I don't know to what extent. That's what he's doing, God. But what I see here is at first in 14, it was only Judah. It was only Benjamin. And you come down here to verse 9. Now they got Ephraim, they got strangers. They got Ephraim, they got Manasseh, they got Simeon, all saying, we want to be a part of what you're doing because God is with you. That is so important. 2 Chronicles 15:2. The Lord is with you while ye be with him. If ye seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. And one last thing about the response about the Lord. You know, he did everything he had to do. He cut things out. He had courage. He removed some things. He renewed the altars. He wanted to do everything to bring honor and glory to God. And you know what he wasn't afraid of? To even get rid of things in his own family. Let me read you what happened there in chapter 15. Look what it says here in verse 16. And also concerning, I'm going to call her Masa. And also concerning Masha, the mother of Asa the king, he removed her from being queen. It says, because she had made an idol in a grove, and Asa cut down her idol and stamped it and burnt it at the brook of Kidron. You know how important it was for Asa to have God in his life and to bless him and to care for him? He wanted that rest. It was so important for him that he said, even my mom's idol, right? Even the person who gave me life, the person who birthed me, the person who weaned me, the person who took care of me, it doesn't matter. You are building up these idols. You are going against what God has told us not to do. I'm going to remove it. Well, first I'm going to remove you. And then I'm going to remove what you did. And I'm not only going to remove it, I'm going to burn the thing. Wow. If the Lord is with you while ye be with him, the Lord is with you while ye be with him. If ye seek him, he will be found. Okay. But if ye forsake him, he will forsake you. You can be as close to God as you want to be. How close do you want to be? How close do you want to be? If you want to be close to God tonight, don't wait till Sunday. You want to start tonight. You need to get a little bit of courage. A little bit of courage. because it does take courage. There might be somebody next to you, your family at home, your coworkers at home, whatever it is, they're going to give you so much grief because you're going to be changing some things. It's going to take courage. You're going to have to put away some things. And you're going to have to renew some things. How close do you want to be?
Amen.